Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning, and it's good to be able to come together to worship God and open up our Bibles now and have a lesson from His Word. And we appreciate your presence, and if you're visiting with us, we're thankful that you're here, and we invite you to come back as you have an opportunity. On Sunday evenings at 5 p.m., we're doing a series of lessons on Give Me the Bible, different aspects of God's Word. And this evening, we're going to be looking about how that God gave us the Bible that we have in our hands, the different manuscripts, the different translations and things like that through the years. And so that may have be of some interest to you, and we invite you back as you have that opportunity. This morning, I want to talk about the most important election in life. And before I go any farther in the lesson, let me put your mind at ease that I'm not going to be talking this morning about any politics or any presidential candidates or the voting this next Tuesday night. That's not what I'm going to be talking about. When Paul told young Timothy, a preacher, he said to him, "Preach the word. That's all I can do. That's my job. That's my work, to preach the word. I'm not supposed to talk about politics in the pulpit, so I won't be doing that this morning. But because that is on the minds, because politics and next Tuesday night is on the minds of so many people, I wanted to use that as a springboard to get us to think about some other choices that we need to make in life. No doubt you have heard a lot recently, and maybe we have engaged ourselves in some talk about the upcoming presidential election. The word elect means to choose. We're going to make some choices next Tuesday night, unless you did early voting. We're going to make some choices. That's what election means, to make a choice. And we've heard a lot recently about getting out to vote for your favorite presidential candidate. We've heard a lot recently that it's the most important election. I think in my lifetime, in my being old enough to vote, in that part of my life, I think I've heard that at least three or four times. It's the most important election. Well, what about the one before that was the most important, you see? That's just something that is said, and there are a lot of things that are said every 4 years. One word that comes up a lot is change. Everybody talks about change, so that's the word you hear a lot. And maybe we've heard a lot about that recently. Maybe we've talked about that with friends and family and co-workers. And I got to thinking about this lately. What if we spend as much time talking about the gospel to somebody as we have been talking about Trump and Hillary? Wouldn't that be a good thing? If we would spend time talking with others about the gospel and the word of God, what good that would cause, that would be a great thing. But we've heard a lot about these things recently, and it's on the minds of individuals recently, and so I wanted to talk about an election. And it's not an election that comes up every 4 years, it's an election that comes up every day. Every day you get up, you cast a vote, you make a choice. And the greatest choices and decisions are made in the spiritual realm, not in the political circles. What happens next Tuesday night has some importance to it, but really, in the big picture, it pales in comparison to what we're going to talk about this morning. It's nothing like the election, the choice that we're going to talk about this morning. And there are a lot of slogans that we've heard. Make America strong again. We've heard that a lot. And stronger together. That's the other candidate's slogan. And there's all kinds of things that are said. It's on the minds of a lot of people. But what we're talking about this morning, unfortunately, is not on the minds of many people. And I want it to be on our minds. And so that's why I want us to consider these things this morning. The choices, the votes, if you will, the elections that we make each day with regard to our relationship with God is more important than anything that is done next Tuesday night. And what's interesting is, next Tuesday night, there's going to be millions of Americans getting out and making a choice. Wouldn't it be neat if those same millions of Americans would make a choice to serve God? Wouldn't that be great? That would make our country great again. If all those people that went out and pushed a button or cast a ballot, if they would make a choice to serve God every day, that would really change the face of our nation. And you can tell what I'm getting at, that we're going to talk this morning about choosing to obey God and Jesus Christ and the right things. That's the most important election in life. Let's start with our choice to cast our vote for God. Do you do that each day? Do you cast your vote to serve God? Turn with me to Exodus 32 and verse 26. Do you remember there after the making of the golden calf, God is angry with Israel. Aaron has allowed the, through poor leadership, he's allowed the Israelites to go off and worship a golden calf while Moses is up on top of the mountains getting the Ten Commandments. One of them is, you shall have no false gods, just down at the base of the mountain. They're down there with their false gods at the very moment that he's getting one of the Ten Commandments. And God wants to destroy them, and we pick up the reading in Exodus 32 and verse 25, and when Moses saw that the people were broken loose, for Aaron had let them loose for a derision among their enemies. Poor leadership on his part. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, whoso is on the Lord's side, let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, put ye every man his sword upon his thigh, and go to and fro from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor, those who were engaged in this idolatry. Whoever is on the Lord's side, you come over here. Put on your sword, and you're going to go out and kill these idolaters. And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell on that of the people that day 3,000 men. Would you have made the choice to step across the line on the Lord's side? Do you do that each day? Do I do that each day? We're going to stand on the Lord's side. We're going to stand on the side of right. If that had happened today, some brethren wouldn't step over that. Well, I'm going to have to go against my friends, and that would mean saying something negative against my friends, and I don't want to do that. It took a lot of courage for those Levites to do that. Whosoever's on the Lord's side, come unto me. Are you on the Lord's side? We have to make that choice every day at school and at work and other places where we're at. Turn to Joshua chapter 24, the scripture reading that we had this morning. Joshua says, choose you this day whom you will serve. You see, there's an election every day. Election just means a choice. We have an election every day. And that is, we cast our vote to stand on the side of right and to stand with God or to stand with the world. And Joshua is saying the same thing as he is about to pass from his life. He had led them into Canaan land and helped them to subdue the land. And now he's about to die and turn the reins over to somebody else. And he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. That's an election. You're going to have to cast your vote. Do I obey God? Do I follow His word and His will? Whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. One of the greatest elections that parents can make each day is the choice to worship God, to serve God, to raise their children on God's word. That's the greatest choice and election we have each day. As for me and my house, we may not be able to save the country. We may not be able to save everybody around us, but we can save ourselves and our house. We can make that choice to serve God. And then come down to verse 22. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen Jehovah to serve Him. Look at verse 21. The people said, we will serve Jehovah. They cast their vote that day and they decided to serve the Lord. And they did for a little while. And then turn with me to Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. There arose a generation who knew not God. The next generation chose not to serve God. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. In the days of Ahab, Israel is terrible. It's very wicked. Ahab and Jezebel are terrible, and they're influencing Israel to do wrong. And there's all kinds of idolatry in the land. And Elijah is a prophet who's trying to stand for what is right. Turn with me to 1 Kings 18 and what happens at Mount Carmel. An election is made. It's election day at Mount Carmel. It's election day. And Elijah says, you're going to have to cast your vote. Are you going to follow Ahab and Jezebel and all of the idols of the land and all the false prophets of Baal, B-A-A-L, a false god? Or are you going to serve the one true God? In 1 Kings chapter 18, in verse 17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, it is thou, thou troubler of Israel. Anytime someone wants to stand up and preach what is right and stand for right, they're the troublemaker. Jesus was the troublemaker. Stephen was the troublemaker. Let's stone him. Jeremiah, he was the troublemaker. Let's throw him in a pit. See, when you try to stand for right, then, oh, you're the troublemaker. No. Look at verse 18. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandment of Jehovah and you have followed the Balaam, all the different idols of Baal. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the Asherah 400 that eat at Jezebel's table. Yeah, she's furnishing and supporting the idolatry that is going on in Israel. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near unto all the people and said, how long go you limping between two sides? If Jehovah be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. We're going to come back to that at the end of the lesson. I'm just not going to say anything. We're going to come back to that at the end of the lesson. But look at the first question. How long will you go about limping between two sides? We're going to play the middle of the road. We're going to straddle the fence. We're going to play the middle of the road, limping between two sides. You know, sometimes I serve God down there at the tabernacle, and then sometimes I go to a false god up there at the idols, and I do that, and I'm trying to play it both ways, you see. This is election day at Mount Carmel. And basically what Elijah is saying is you need to go into the voting booth and make up your mind. Pick one. If God be God, serve him. If the false gods be God, serve them. But quit trying to limp between two sides. We would say today, one foot in the church and one foot in the world. On Sunday, I'm a good person. The rest of the week, I'm not so great. We're just going to play it both ways. It's election day at Mount Carmel. Who are you going to cast your vote for? And so, we need to make up our mind. And we do that each day. And hopefully we choose to stand on the side of God. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Pick one. And he goes on to say there in Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, to put God first, obviously choose God. Mammon is an Aramaic word meaning riches or material things. Mammon. We all have material things in our life. We're wearing clothes. We drove cars this morning. We have homes. We have material things. But Jesus is saying you cannot serve both in the sense of what you're going to put first. So he goes on to say a few verses later in verse 32 and 33, seek first the kingdom. We have material things in our life, but they're to be secondary to God. He is to be first in our life. He says the same thing in Luke 16 and 13. You cannot serve God and mammon. You've got to go into the voting booth and cast your vote. Pick one. It's election day. Each day is election day for us. We have to make some choices. We have to push some buttons, as it were. And so, choose to come over to the Lord's side, even if others don't. Choose with you and your house, you and your wife or your husband and your children, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Make that choice. Others may not, that's their business, but you choose to serve God. And let's not limp between two sides, thinking that we can just sort of play the field and just be all over the place and everybody be happy. Pick the Lord's side. And yes, we have material things in our life, but keep those always secondary. We see so much when football gets started up in the NFL that they start talking about it 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, and they're all day long. You know. And no one among them are going to worship God on the first day of the week. That's when we're supposed to be doing that. It's all about football. That's one of many, many things of our nation where it's just about money and material things. Cast your vote for God. Cast your vote for Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew 27. You remember when Jesus was on trial, Pilate says more than once, not just once, but more than once, that he's an innocent man and I'm not going to crucify an innocent man. But he gets pressured into putting Jesus on the cross. And one of the greatest questions, just behind what must I do to be saved, I think the second greatest question in the Bible is, what must I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? That's probably the second greatest question in the Bible. Behind what must I do to be saved? What then shall I do unto Jesus who is called the Christ? We've got to do something with Jesus. We've got to make a choice. And so we find in Matthew chapter 27, let's begin reading in verse 15. Now at the feast, the governor, that's Pilate, the Roman governor, was wont to release unto the multitude one prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. When therefore they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ? He had to go into a voting booth, if you will. It's election day for Pilate. There's this notable prisoner. The other accounts say that he was a terrible person, or this innocent man, Jesus. I've got to push a button. What am I going to do? And Pilate gets pushed around by the crowd to push the button for Barabbas. When they were therefore gathered together, Pilate asked, whom will I release, Barabbas or Jesus? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him up, that is Jesus. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Pilate knew that he was innocent. He said, I find no fault in the man. His wife says that he's innocent. Verse 20, now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas. Yeah, get the common people to do our dirty work so that we don't have to be implicated in any kind of way. They were implicated because on the day of Pentecost and later in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5, Peter says, you, by the hands of lawless men, have crucified, including the chief priest and the elders. Verse 21, but the governor, Pilate, answered and said unto them, which of the two will you that I release? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate saith unto them, and this is probably one of the most important questions in all of God's word, what then shall I do unto Jesus who is called the Christ? What are you going to do with him this morning? What am I going to do with him? We have to make a decision every day of what we're going to do. Stand with him, obey his word, follow him, or not. They all say, let him be crucified. And he said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out exceedingly, saying, let him be crucified. So when Pilate saw that he prevailed nothing, he was weak. Do we allow ourselves to get pushed around, pushed and poked and prodded by the multitude of life, whatever they want? Or do we have conviction and courage and stand for what is right? He took water, verse 24, and washed his hands before the multitude. And this is the verse from which we get the expression, to wash your hands of the matter. You ever heard that? We've used that. I'm just going to wash my hands of the matter. It comes out of that verse right there. We're just going to act like, well, I don't have anything to do with that anymore. You and I can wash our hands all day long, but we're still guilty. We can go through a symbolic action of washing our hands, but we're still guilty. And Pilate was. So that's what he chose to do. I am innocent. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. He said it, but he wasn't. And people say they're innocent about things, but they're not. And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." And it was. Then released he unto them Barabbas, but Jesus he scourged and delivered to be crucified. How weak. Spineless, no backbone. So when he went into the election booth, Barabbas. Because I don't have the courage and the conviction to stand for what is right. But brethren, friends, we do. Let us have that courage and conviction to stand for what is right. Cast your vote for Jesus. Choose what is right over wrong. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Choose truth over error. Choose life. This is spiritual life over death. Choose heaven over hell. You see, it's every day is election day for us. Every day is the most important election day to choose God and Christ and what is right in God's Word. I'm not saying we shouldn't vote next Tuesday. I plan to, Lord willing, if nothing happens between now and Tuesday, I plan to do that. I'm not suggesting that we don't do that. I'm suggesting that this is more important than any of that. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death." And if you read the two or three previous chapters, life and death here is not physical life and death, but life that comes by following God's Word and death that comes by not following God's Word. So what does Moses say? Choose life. Pro-life. We talk about pro-life. With regard to abortion, we need to be pro-life. Moses was pro-life, but he wasn't talking about unborn babies. He was talking about following God's Word that leads to spiritual life. Choose life. What, Moses? Verse 20. "To love Jehovah thy God, to obey His voice, to cleave unto Him, for He is thy life." That's what it means to choose life. Follow Him, obey Him, cleave to Him. So it was election day for Israel. One of Job's friends says in Job 34 and verse 4, "Let us choose what is right." Turn with me to Psalm 119 and verse 30 with regard to God's Word. Each day we need to choose God's Word and have it in our life. Not just a casual reading here and there or a favorite verse posted on a magnet somewhere, but reading God's Word to follow it each day, to put it into practice each day. Psalm 119 and verse 30. "I have chosen the way of faithfulness. Thine ordinances have I set before me." That's a choice we need to make every day. Look at Psalm 119, verse 173. Psalm 119, verse 173. "Let thy hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation." An election is just simply a choice. And these are the choices that we need to be making each day. Some don't want that. Turn with me to Proverbs 1:29. Some don't want the choice of hearing and following God's Word. They want to follow what the world is saying. I don't want to hear anything from the Bible. So, Proverbs 1:29, "They hated knowledge and did not choose to fear Jehovah." Don't preach to me, preacher. I don't want that knowledge from God's Word. I don't want to fear the Lord. I don't want to obey the Lord. We all make choices every day, either to hear and obey God's Word or to turn our ears away from it. Proverbs 16 and verse 16, "How much better it is to get wisdom than gold. Yea, to get understanding is rather to be chosen than silver." Would you rather have a Bible or a handful of gold and silver? Which one would you rather have? A Bible or a handful of gold and silver? I'll take the gold and silver. That's money. I can turn that into some money. proverb writer says, the wise man says, no, it is actually wiser to choose understanding and wisdom and that comes from God's word than silver and gold. We've got to make some choices. And Jesus says in Matthew 7, 13 and 14 that we need to choose the narrow way that leads to eternal life and stay off the broad road that leads to destruction. What road are we going to go down in life? That's an election. That's a choice we make each day. And so before I close this morning, I want us to turn and look at a few New Testament passages. What does this mean, actually? It means to choose to be a Christian. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. God wants those who will choose to follow Him. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Let's talk a little bit about the word election in the New Testament. And we're not talking about going into a voting booth on Tuesday night. Election is used in the New Testament to be chosen by God. We obey His word and He chooses us to be His children. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who are God's elect? Back up to verse 28. This is God's elect, and we know to them that love God, all things work together for good. That's God's elect if we love God. Do we love God? And we show that through our obedience. Verse 28, 29, and 30 says that a person who loves God, God is going to choose him and call him, and he will be his elect. Verse 33, we have to love God. And it's by God's grace. It's called an election of grace in Romans chapter 11 and verse 5. By God's grace, we can be saved. But it's through obedience to the gospel. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians 1 verses 4 and 5. How does God choose or elect us? Is it without any obedience on our part? No, we have to obey the New Testament gospel when it is presented to us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, look at this. Knowing, brethren, beloved of God, your election. Your election. What is that? How that our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. The gospel comes and we either choose election to obey it or not. That's the most important election in life. To obey the gospel or not. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, for that God chose you from the beginning unto salvation. How, Paul? In sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We have to believe the truth. Believe the gospel that is in the New Testament. And then we have to continue living faithfully. Turn with me to Titus chapter 1. The New Testament doesn't teach once we're saved, we're always saved. The New Testament teaches that we have to remain faithful in life. And so Paul talks about the faith of the elect. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 1, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth. We have to be faithful throughout our life. And Peter talks about a holy people, an elect race, that are faithfully serving God. And then turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. We have to make our calling and election sure. 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, he's been talking about adding to our faith, the knowledge, self-control, brotherly kindness, those types of things. If you do these things, you shall never stumble. We have to make our calling and election sure. We have to make it sure all the way to the end. And then John talks about those who are chosen and faithful. Revelation 17, verse 14. What's the most important election in life? Your choice to obey the gospel. To serve God, to follow Christ, to be on the Lord's side, to read and study and obey His word. That's the most important election in life, and it's every day. It's not every 4 years, it's every day. Let us go out and cast our vote, as it were, for these things. and be faithful in God's sight. But I wanted to close with this thought. We've been hearing not only about which candidate to vote for, but there's been a lot of stories about the undecided voter, right? Heard about that? Undecided voters. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. I don't even know if I'm going to vote. And that's fine. No law against that. But the problem with God is we're not allowed undecided voters. We can't just walk out and do nothing. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Do you know that the failure to make a choice this morning on these matters, the failure to choose, do you know that that's a choice in itself? You've already made a choice. When you choose not to make a choice, that's a choice. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. And I've talked with some, and maybe you've talked with those before, who say, well, all that's fine and good, but that's just not for me. All those things that you've talked about this morning, that's just not for me. And I'm not going to do anything with that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. So when we just say, well, I'm just not going to do anything, well, we actually have made a choice, and that is to be against Jesus. If we're not for him, we're against him. There's no middle ground. There's no middle of the road, straddling the fence, undecided. Do you remember 1 Kings 18? What happened when Elijah said, choose between God or the false prophets? What did the people do? What did they do? They answered him not a word. They thought that that absolved them from making any choice. I don't have to do it. I'm just not going to say anything. You ever been in a situation where someone presented a choice to you and you just didn't say anything? I've been there. Have you been there? We think that our silence keeps us from having to do anything. Actually, silence is what? It's actually consent, one way or the other. They answered him not a word. They thought that that absolved them from making any choice. When they answered him not a word, they actually did make a choice. They made a choice for Baal. Yeah. Something to think about. Well, I just won't do anything. I won't come forward and obey the gospel. I won't choose to follow my Bible. I won't choose to stand for what is right. I'm just going to sit back. Let Larry do that. I'm just not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. That actually is a choice. And it's a choice for the wrong. So we need to think about that. Undecided voters. Well, that's fine if we're talking about next Tuesday night. But if we're talking about our relationship with God, it puts us on the wrong side. We need to make the choice to choose. Not only is it a choice in and of itself for the wrong, but you know what? A failure to choose, listen carefully, leads to dangerous delay where we just don't do anything and the devil gets us to procrastinate and put it off. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17 when Paul was preaching about the one true God there in Athens. The text says that when he got done with his sermon, now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, Acts 17:32, some mocked. If you come on down to verse 34, some clave unto him and believed. So verse 32, some mocked. Verse 34, some believed, but who's right in there in between? Some said, we will hear thee concerning this yet again. We're not going to mock. We're not going to believe. We just want to hear some more about this. Now, if that's coming from an attitude of wanting to learn more truth and get more information so that I can obey, that's one thing. But if it's just simply, well, come back next week and we'll hear you again, then that's not a good thing. And we know from Acts 24:25 that Felix told Paul on another occasion, go thy way, when I have a convenient season, I'll call you. I don't want to do anything right now. Indecision, what it does is it just causes us to put it off and put it off. And a day becomes a week becomes a month becomes a year, years become decades, and we just haven't done anything. Agrippa told Paul, Acts 26:28, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. Almost. Well, indecision leads to dangerous delay, and the devil gets us to put it off all the way to the very end, and then we're lost. And then last of all, a failure to choose results in me as a person being ineffective. I really cannot help other people. I can't help myself. I can't help my family. I can't help others around me. I'm really no good to anybody, and I'm certainly no good to the Lord. What did Jesus say to the church at Laodicea who couldn't make up their mind whether to be hot or cold? And they said, you know what we'll do? We'll just be lukewarm. Revelation 3:16. Jesus said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. We're not even good for Jesus anymore. He doesn't want us. We're not good for ourselves. We can't help anybody else. Jesus doesn't want us. And in Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says that there are those who know God, but by their works they deny Him. And they're unbelieving and abominable, unto every good work reprobate. They know God, they deny Him at the same time. They're just not good for anything. And so make a choice. Make a choice. And that is to choose God, to choose Christ, to choose right over wrong and truth over error. That is the greatest election in life. And we have an opportunity to cast our vote right now for God and Christ and obeying His Word. If we can assist you to do that, come. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. You can come forward. Let your needs be made known, what you would like to do, but make that choice. Let us go out this morning with renewed strength and zeal to be on the Lord's side. Every day for us is an election day. It's an election day to choose God and Christ in His Word. That's my encouragement for you this morning. And if you need to begin by making some choices, why won't you come as we stand and sing this song of encouragement?